And a good Friday morning. Welcome back into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Got a good program lined up for you today. Later on in the program, we'll get an update from Kevin Logan, superintendent at Rock Creek Schools in Pottawatomie County. But we're going to spend the first half hour chatting with Bob Koppel. He's the president and CEO at Ascension Via Christi Hospital. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, good morning, Brendan.
It's a pleasure to have you on. I think we're going to have a lot of interesting topics to cover here this morning with Bob as we get an update here on COVID-19 and how the hospital is responding here locally. Let's talk first off about just kind of what the environment is like right now at the hospital and how you're treating patients there.
So, you know, from a COVID perspective, we only have one positive patient in-house, and they are in our critical care unit. They are not on a vent, don't need that assistance at this point. We do have another Raleigh County resident who is hospitalized outside of Manhattan, because that's, again, is sometimes, I think, confusing for people on the counts, because our county of residence is how we're counted, not necessarily where we're receiving care. We actually have no PUIs this morning. This week has been kind of interesting, though. We are have been running a census almost 20% higher than we typically would this time of year. So, and it's just this kind of a mishmash of other health issues people are having. And so it's just kind of interesting. I know everybody is very COVID focused. Certainly we have that top of mind as well and have lots of steps in place to make sure people are safe when they're here to get care. But I think sometimes people also need to remember the rest of the rest of life continues to churn. And so people still have their heart issues, their cancer issues, their surgeries, et cetera. So that's, I think obviously we're very grateful for the privilege of being able to provide services to patients, but just things keep happening. And we'll continue to obviously to keep an eye out and watch over our COVID patients as well.
All right. Well, yeah. And this time of year, I mean, I guess there's all sorts of things that could probably spin around here in the community. What's common in late August for viruses or illnesses?
Well, I've talked with some of our primary care providers over the last week or so, and we are seeing an upswing in just viral activity. And so lots of, and interestingly, it is, it's non-COVID, but just kind of other viruses. So you're obviously, we have people with strep. We haven't seen a flu yet in our part of the state, and that would be early. If we were to see that, because that's typically not in mid-August, but certainly just other bugs, stuff people passing around. It's kind of interesting. This is where we will all collectively see the benefit of people doing universal masking, doing the social distancing and the hand hygiene. The more of that that's occurring, the less of this just what we would call typical or our normal viral activity that we see. The less of that we're going to see, because the same things that people really we really want people to do for COVID, like the masking, social distancing, hand hygiene, it is just as effective, if not even more effective, in stopping some of these other viruses as well. So from just kind of a general health perspective, doing those three steps are actually huge. That really sets us up well for this fall and this winter if we consistently have people doing those things.
We've heard a lot on the masks and why they're important. You know, one thing I'm curious about is the social distancing aspect. Keeping 6 feet distance from another person in public places. How much do we know about how that keeps people from getting sick?
Well, so the specific to COVID, because there's actually been a lot researched and written about that. We know that just a simple exercise of inhaling and exhaling, you're going to kind of spray, if you will, a little bit of COVID out if you're positive. And if you're doing things like coughing, sneezing, a sneeze can actually, push a COVID out. And I've seen up to 10 meters, so around 30 feet. The mask actually, that's why, again, you encourage masking. So the mask actually acts as a, it's not a great term, but I'd say a spit guard, if you will. And it really limits how far out we're pushing or exhaling or pushing out COVID. When people are yelling, singing, things like that, that actually really expels out a distance as well. And so that's why the 6 feet for normal conversation, I think our learnings have been that that's pretty effective. A positive person who's not wearing a mask, if they're just standing there and talking, you know, normally like you and I are right now, that 6 feet distance is typically pretty effective. It's just when they're doing anything else, you know, that's creating a little more energy in the movement of those cells, and that's singing, yelling, dancing, or not dancing, but singing, yelling, certainly sneezing, coughing, the having a mask on just really limits how far things are passing. And so that's why kind of you do both, you're actually pretty safe. There's actually been all kinds of examples now of people who were positive, who were wearing masks and actually in close proximity to other people. But if both individuals were wearing masks and both people were doing hand hygiene, because again, the spray, if you will, lands on stuff, we've actually documented now you will not transmit COVID. And so that's why it's so important. And we all sound like a broken record after 5 months, but these very simple things have actually been shown to be highly effective at stopping the spread or limiting the spread. And that's really the goal of all of this, is you're trying to limit the spread and keep it to a very manageable level.
All right, well, let's transition that conversation then to, with everyone getting ready to go back to school. We got K-State starting classes Monday, and Manhattan Tech College, and I think Christian College starting Monday, and the elementary schools will be after that. Just kind of what the conversations are like between health officials and the task force with local schools.
Well, so the clinical task force and actually the recovery task force both are engaged with some of our leaders from the school districts, and certainly continue to be kind of tied in really tightly to the folks at the health department. Specifically with the clinical task force, and this is a group, and for the people who are not familiar, so this is a group of about 25-ish community physicians. All specialties have really come together. Again, they've been volunteering their time, mainly on weekends and evenings, but really pulling in to just kind of help strategize, gather information, and help kind of problem solve, you know, situations. So in the last few weeks, they've been meeting specifically with the school nurses from Manhattan Ogden School District. They've been meeting with officials from the school district and people with the health department to try to coordinate, you know, how do we do this or that? Because, you know, I think it's really important for people to understand with, you know, actually I was talking with some of our physicians here at the hospital about this yesterday morning. We just have to adjust how we do things. We don't have to stop necessarily doing certain things. And so, for example, engaging with children in a classroom, that's really important. And so it's a series of problems that we have to kind of work through and solve and strategize around, because everybody agrees that that's important. It's part of the learning process or socialization. I mean, there's all these other huge benefits of being with other students, with your teacher in a classroom. So what do we do to make that safer? And so the clinical task force has actually been very engaged even in those conversations. And I think specifically, you know, there's questions about, so let's assume we have, we're going to have kids that turn up positive in a classroom. So then what? And I think that's the real key, again, as we had the physicians engage in that conversation of, you know, what should be the process of that child being allowed to return to school? What's the impact for their family? What should be the expectation of the other kids in that class? What do they need to do or really even be worried about? Or what do they not need to be worried about? And, you know, just creating guidance for all the local physician offices so that they can be consistent as well, but to really help people just kind of problem solve through. So what's the steps? What's all the possible scenarios? You know, how can we make this as successful a school year as possible? And you have it it's a little different question when you get to say high schoolers and college students, just because of where they are from a maturity standpoint, and also the ability that they have to move about more. And so it's kind of a different set of scenarios and a different set of problem solving. And so you've got folks from Lafine and also from the task force that have been engaged with K-State and kind of working through that same thing. You know, I think K-State, again, has taken some very good steps in looking at how they can create social distancing within the learning environment. They've made changes to their airflow for classrooms. They're actually not using certain classrooms if they're not able to make changes to them. You know, they were very early on saying we're going to do masking and we're going to take some of these other steps that are so important. I think everybody is stockpiling hand sanitizer, cleaning materials. You know, and this is a K through 12. This is a college thing as well. Just making sure we have the materials that you just need to kind of operationalize all of these plans. You know, they're working really hard, and I think quite honestly, pretty successfully at putting all of this together. You know, again, you kind of we'll see over the next 2 or 3 weeks. So the first 2 or 3 weeks are, I mean, that's everybody's learning, everybody's adjusting and making changes. And I would assume that we would have some changes in that period based on what's learned the first week and the second week. There'll be more adjustments. And, you know, for parents and for all the rest of us in the community, we just have to have some flexibility with that, because as we learn more, then we'll make changes and adapt to that.
That being said, do you anticipate we will see a little bit of a surge here in the next couple weeks?
So I think it would be really surprising if we don't see more positives. Partly is we're just adding more people into the population. And so that in itself, even if you had the same level of positivity, if you add 15,000 people or 20,000 people into the population, you're going to have more positives. That's just math. We do expect, again, as people are congregating again, socializing again, that we're going to see upticks. The question being, is it at a manageable level? And are people taking those steps to be smart about how they're doing things? And we keep things somewhat contained, if you will, you know, within a reasonable volumes. And because it just kind of, all of that triggers the need for what's your testing levels required, what's the contact tracing levels required, what extra accommodations might there be for people who are positive. If you can limit the pool of who those people are, it just makes it easier, obviously, to operationalize all that and be successful with that. I mean, it's kind of a long way of saying, Brandon, I think everybody expects some level of increase. I think, obviously, the hope is that the plans are working, and so it's a very manageable level. There might be a bump, but it's okay. We can deal with that, and things will just kind of keep motoring on.
Okay, very good. Well, tell you what, let's take a break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation with Bob Koppel, Ascension Via Christi President and CEO, here on In Focus.